And so he says, once we get beyond simple pointing the unbeliever to the creation and the statements of Scripture, proof becomes fairly, you know, kind of complicated. He says, it's interesting, though, in this connection to ask how people actually come to faith in Christ, right? This is a really interesting question, right?
Right.
So we think, well, maybe we just need arguments to persuade people. Is that how they come to faith? Well, he says, based on his observation, few Christians, when asked to list the factors that led them to trust in Christ, list any argument or proof at all. Now, some do, right? A few, but not very many. He says most, you know, for most Christian believers, the issue is not intellectual for them. Christianity was in an intellectual sense, believable enough. The issue was rather that the person was not yet motivated to repent of sin, seek forgiveness, and obey the Christian revelation. That was the issue. It wasn't necessarily lack of evidence, right?
Right. And so it's amazing how many deconverters just want to sleep with their girlfriends type deal.
Yeah.
All right. So that motivation of a supernatural in origins comes through various experiences, often merely a very vivid retelling of the gospel of Jesus, especially such retelling connected by loving, winsome behavior. Then comes a theistic proof, possibly unstated, but representing the following kind of sort of thought process. Well, here's premise one. If Jesus is Lord and Savior, then he is reliable. Premise two, if he is reliable, then God exists. Premise three, he is Lord and Savior. And conclusion, therefore, God exists. Again, this is somewhat a narrowly circular argument, but is very persuasive to many. It represents the actual thought process that brings many to a faith in God. And, you know, we see this with the resurrection proofs. This is along those same ones of, you know, if Jesus rose from the dead and he said he would to show that he was God, then this would be kind of ultimate proof, wouldn't it not be? Here, let me show you the minimal facts arguments. Here, let me show you the undesigned coincidences in Scripture. And, okay, that's pretty convincing. Well, he might be Lord and Savior, and therefore God exists.
Right, exactly. And so he says, apologists often routinely assume that an inquirer must consider theistic proofs before he or she considers a specific case for Christianity. But he says in real life, the reverse order is often the case. It is Jesus who assures us that God is real. And so oftentimes he's suggesting here, it's just the reverse of what we might think. It's not the proof that does it, right? It's the fact that Jesus is who he says it is. And then once we trust that, we can come along and look at some types of proof.
Mm-hmm.
So he thinks oftentimes we get the order revert in real life. What really happens in real life with regard to conversion is just the opposite of what we think is the case.
Right. Right. And you know, we do see, growing in our salvation and our sanctification, you know, what do we look for? We look for other things to fill our kind of, our knowledge basket of who God is. And so, you know, the scriptures talk about, you know, first you start with milk and then you move on to the meat. And, you know, there are things in there like, okay, so if all events in human history are designed by God, can I see God's active hand in history? That's one, or scientific proof, or, how mathematics is able to work, how it's able to be known. How about ethicists who go based on how about economy, monetary value in God's world and how that seems to have an objective standard in the world, even though it's subjective to person, there's still objective truths of economics that seem to be embedded in the universe itself. And so, you know, where do those things come from? Or you even look into, okay, well, you know, I believe that Jesus existed, but are there other, exterior sources of Jesus in history? And Jesus is a figure of history, so we would expect to find, you know, historical events surrounding it, like the Pool of Siloam. Oh, look, it's suddenly been excavated, and, you know, the description of what we see in the New Testament is what we see being uncovered. And so that just lends further, kind of proof and the building up in our minds of the confidence that we have in what Scripture says. But ultimately, we derive back to the source of Scripture as our ultimate proof, or that's what we should be pointing back to.
Mm-hmm.